It's good to be here today. And there were two women who met at their 50th high school reunion. They had been best friends in high school, and so they were visiting, trying to catch up and seeing what was going on in each other's lives. And one of the women told the other one, "My life has been perfect." The other old friend said, "Well, what do you mean?" "Well, let me tell you about my life. I met a billionaire. I married him, and then he died. Then I met a Hollywood director, and I married him. Then he died. Then I met a Baptist preacher, and he died. And now I am married to an undertaker." And so the other woman said, "How is that perfect? What do you mean?" She said, "Well, think about it. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go." Well, most of us probably don't think our life is perfect. We have had heartaches. We struggle with life. Honestly, there's an uneasiness, perhaps guilt in our lives, and we'd really like to change. We know we, perhaps this morning, are struggling with guilt, and there's that sense of failure in our lives. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5, we're going to look at a very familiar miracle that Jesus performed. In the Gospel of John, there's seven miracles. This is the second one. But let's read this morning, if you would, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lamed, paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered, 'Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. When I'm going, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk.' And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked." In Jerusalem, at the sheep gate, there was a pool. It had five porches, or colonnades, as the English Standard Version, in which I read, translates it. Gathered there were a multitude, perhaps hundreds. People who were blind, lame. It would be a very sad place if you could imagine hearing the cries of desperation, the cries of pain, perhaps, yes, even the smell, the stench of disease. A desperate place. Now, I've read this morning from the English Standard Version, and perhaps you all have a translation that other Greek manuscripts have been translated, but there was a tradition that said that they waited because various times an angel would come and stir the water, and whomever was the first to get into the pool would be healed. Now you You'd think perhaps that there would be some sense of competition. You really wouldn't want to get close to someone because they would be your enemy and you would want to beat them to the draw to get into the water. But on this day, Jesus came. And he knew that one particular person, who didn't really come in him, to him at this point in faith, but Jesus initiated the conversation, knew that he had been there for 38 years. And he asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Let's consider that today and think about maybe paraphrasing Jesus' question as he asked you and me, "Do you really want to change your life?" And we see various principles. The first one is the fact that we must admit that we have a problem. As you hear Jesus ask that question, perhaps you think, that's a rather cruel question to ask someone. But perhaps he was asking not to hurt him, but really to see if he really wanted to change, to see what his motives were. And if you notice how the man responds, he responds by offering excuses. "Well, you know, there's no one here to help me to get into the pool. I can't manage it by myself. My mobility is hampered because of my paralysis, and there's really no one that can help me." And he offers excuses. And perhaps Jesus is looking, and I think he's really looking to see, do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to change? Because sometimes, you know, we can offer excuses and we can say, "Oh yeah, I really want to change. And Lord, I really want you to do a work in my life. But, you know, I'm really comfortable where I am. And, you know, there's no responsibility. There's no expectations. Perhaps I'm really enjoy being the recipient of sympathy and having people feeling sorry for me." I've known a person like that. She wallowed in self-pity and she enjoyed almost the sense that it became addictive of not wanting to change, but she wanted always to act like she did, but she never would take that step to change. And he asked you and he asked me, do you really realize that you have a problem? And are you really willing to change your life? That's a question for all of us this morning. You may be here today and you're not a believer. You're not a follower of Jesus. However you want to say it, you're not saved, you're not a follower of Jesus, and today you're here and you have a spiritual disability. You're lost. You're hopeless. And the fact is, you've got to come to that place and first admit, "Lord Jesus, I have a problem. I am a sinner and I am lost and I'm hopeless without you. And I need to come to that place and put my trust in you, and I surrender my life to follow you as Lord and Savior." You know, sometimes it's often easy to find and see the problems of others without seeing them in ourselves. Most of us have 20/20 vision. We can see everyone else's problems. Kind of like the man who went to see a counselor. He went to the counselor's office and he had two pieces of lettuce, one over each ear, and he had a boiled egg upon his head. Well, you can imagine, the counselor said, "Sir, what's your problem?" He said, "Well, it's not me, it's my wife. She's crazy." We can see those problems in everybody else. But even today, as believers, along the way, we can get so self-satisfied and we can see everybody else's need, but we don't see our own. The book of Revelation, if you're familiar with the first section of the book of Revelation, has the letters to the seven churches. And the risen Lord speaks to those seven churches in Asia, and the final one is the church at Laodicea. And the church at Laodicea was so self-sufficient, so unaware of their need. And Jesus addresses them and says, you say that you're rich. You say that you don't need anything. But you're blind, you're pitiful, you're naked, you're destitute. And what happens to us? We're much like sometimes the church of Laodicea as believers. We get to thinking, we're okay spiritually. We think that we have everything in order in our lives, and along the way, it's very easy sometimes to become so complacent at ease in Zion, as Amos chapter 6, as Amos speaks about the people of Israel, that we become so complacent saying, Lord, I'm okay. And we become self-sufficient, and we become self-righteous and so comfortable, and we don't see our own need. And the first step to change is to admit we have a need. The second principle we see, and the second step, is we have to obey the Lord even though He calls us to do the impossible. Look, if you would, if you still have your Bibles open, if you'll follow with me. Verse 8 says, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. I want you to put yourself in the place of that cripple. You've been there for 38 years. And here comes a man, here comes Jesus, and he says, get up. Take up your bed or take up your pallet and walk. And what a miracle. Have you ever considered the miracles of Jesus, how He does different miracles in different ways? Sometimes He heals from a distance. Sometimes He touches a person and heals them. In this place, He just speaks a word and expects the man to obey in faith. I'm thankful for that, because he does miracles in different ways. Because could you imagine if he did every miracle of healing the same way? Everyone would want to copy Jesus and try to do it the same way. But he uses a variety of methods. He's kind of like the man who went to the pharmacist and asked the druggist, says, I need something for hiccups. And the pharmacist said, okay, go down to aisle 3 and you'll find it on the shelf. So the man goes down on aisle 3 and he's looking for a cure for the hiccups, and he doesn't hear the pharmacist slip up behind him. And the pharmacist hollers, boo! And then gives him a karate chop in the back of his neck. And the man turns and says, what in the world did you do that for? He says, I bet you don't have the hiccups now. He says, I was looking for something for my wife. Jesus works in many different ways in our lives. He calls us to do the impossible. He asks us to trust Him and to step out in faith. And today, perhaps, there's that sense that He's working in your life and He's wanting you to step out and do the impossible. And it's so tempting. And perhaps you've been doing it for days or months or years. Like, Lord, I can't do that. You're asking me to do that which is impossible. But to trust Him and to step out and to do it. But notice what else. And perhaps this is maybe the hardest for us. He commands us to leave our comfort zone. Man, he'd been there for 38 years, probably day in, day out. You get rather comfortable there. Perhaps, and it's been suggested that according to the protocol, there was a sense of pecking order, and through the years he had gained seniority and he had gotten a choice seat. But Jesus comes and he confronts him and says, get up, leave your comfort zone and obey me. Let's take a test this morning. Now, some of you can't answer this question because you're not 38 years old. You weren't even born. But for those of us who are rather long in tooth, think back. What was your life like 38 years ago? If you do the math, it would be May 16, 1983. Ronald Reagan was president of the United States. Margaret Thatcher was the prime minister of Great Britain. What was your life like then? Have you changed? Are you standing still? Can you look at your life and say, Mark, you know, spiritually, I've grown. Or perhaps you say, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm afraid I'm treading water, or maybe I've even slipped back. Are you ready to leave that comfort zone? This morning, the Lord's working in your life, and He says, I want you to serve. Probably it's more specific. It may be to teach. Or to use your gifts in a place of service through this church for the kingdom. And beyond all the excuses, He's saying, take that step and get out of your comfort zone. Perhaps it's in the area of giving and stewardship. He's saying, you need to be tithing. You need to trust me. Or maybe it's a mission trip. Or perhaps He's giving you a burden to speak the word of witness to a neighbor or a friend or maybe a relative. And you're just saying, oh Lord, beyond all the excuses I offer, it's really, Lord, I just don't want to step out and leave that place of comfort. And this morning, He's calling you to get up and leave that place of comfort. The last principle we see is He calls us to leave the past behind. Again, if you have your Bibles, read with me if you would. Verse 8 and 9. Jesus said to him, get up and take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed. And he took up his bed and walked. The New Testament is written in the original language of Greek. It's a very expressive language. And a tense of a verb can indicate the type of action. At times there is what we call punctiliar action. And I might illustrate it like this way. I took my gun and I shot once. That's been punctiliar action. But there's also a tense that is linear action, and I would illustrate that way. I took my gun and I shot and I shot and I shot and I shot. I continued to shoot. And John, verse 9, has both of those. He took up his bed. He made a decisive action once and for all. He took it up. And then he walked. And that is that linear action. He walked and he walked and he continued to walk. There was no looking back. There was no going back. His life had been dramatically changed. You may recall what Jesus said. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. He illustrated that by thinking of a farmer who was plowing and looked over his shoulder to see where he'd been. And when he did that, his lines that he was plowing would be crooked. He keeps looking ahead. Or today for us, we may have a more contemporary illustration than that is when you, in a few minutes, get into your car and drive to go to lunch or go home, you'll find there's two pieces of glass. There's a smaller piece of glass that's a rearview mirror that helps you to look back to see in order not to back into something. But there's a large piece of glass in front of you, a windshield, that looks ahead. And today, to take up and to go on and to proceed in the kingdom, don't look back. Don't go back. But keep walking by faith. Keep stepping ahead. Keep persevering. Walking, walking, walking in obedience to the Lord. Where are you today? Listen to the question Jesus asked. Do you want to be healed? Or maybe we would paraphrase it, do you really want to change? Some of you today, it may be at that place that you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He says, put that disability of sin behind you. Turn from it. Trust me as your Lord and Savior. And place your faith in me. Surrender your life to follow me as your Lord and Savior. And that's the commitment today for you. For some of us today, it's the Lord saying, I know that you know me, but you've grown complacent. You're at ease. And take that step. Get up. It may be very simply, He's asking you to do what you think is impossible. Forgive that person. Get rid of that bitterness in your life. Take that step. Perhaps it's very simply that you're here and He's saying, First Baptist Alba is the place I want you to plug into. Come be a part. The work of the kingdom. Invest in the kingdom and you come today to be a part of this church family. I'm going to pray. In a moment, we'll sing a hymn of commitment. You don't really know me, and I don't really know you. And perhaps that gives you a freedom to come and share your heart today. You're here this morning and you need to come and place your faith and trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. I welcome you and I invite you to come. Let me share with you. You're here today as a believer. But the Lord's saying, get up. Get up. Get up and take that step. I welcome that opportunity to pray for you today. Let's pray together. Lord, just as you knew that man, you know us better than we know ourselves. You see through all the excuses. And Father, I just pray today that each of us would be honest with you, honest with ourselves, and obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?